So this week we're going to be talking about service. What comes to your mind when you hear the word service? Work. Yeah. What's that? Community? What else? Say that one more time. Philanthropy. That's why I didn't understand it, because I don't even know what that word means. Philanthropy, yes. Anything else? Love. Beautiful. Or are you commenting on that? Okay, good. Well, we're going to be talking about service. Why did God save us? Let's answer that question first. We needed it. Why did God save us? Okay, so you knew where I was headed with this, so I don't think that's fair. But you gave the Sunday school answer, and that's correct. That's not why God saved us. Why did God save us? He loves us. He wanted to be with us. Why couldn't we be with God? Because of sin. Whose sin? Okay. So, if God saved us because He loved us, He saved us because of our sin. We were in wrong being with God, and He had to be the sacrifice for this. What did He save us for? To give glory to Him. What else? For communion with Him. What was over here? Spread the kingdom, is that what you said? Bring His kingdom to serve others. So you really don't need to be taught this, I assume. But I think you do. Service, we talk about philanthropy, we talk about all these things. We talk about why did God save us? What did God save us from? We understand these things. But so often, your life looks like mine. So often, your life looks like mine in the fact that we do nothing with it. Is that fair? So often, we take this thing called Christianity, we take this thing called faith, we take this thing called Jesus, and we... Can we go to like a blank slide? It's not communion anymore. Actually, I guess it is. Just leave it up. It's fine. And we do nothing with it. Even though we have strict instructions from God in Matthew, right? Go! Teach! Tell people about me! Baptize people! We had a baptism last week. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. But a lot of times we act as if Jesus said nothing about any of that at all. We take this Jesus, and He's good for us. He's good for me in my living room. He's good for my bookshelf. But then we do nothing with it. Even after strict instruction from Jesus. Even after strict instruction from His apostles that write all throughout Scripture. I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine this week, and he, just like I am, is learning how to pastor, and you are the guinea pigs, okay? Maybe pigs is too strong of a term, but you understand what I'm saying. And he's learning just like I am, and he's got coaches just outside of his circle here in Laramie that coach him and teach him and train him how to become better at what he does. This coach wanted him to take every sphere of his life. You understand what that means? You got family. You got being a husband or a wife, a parent, work relationships, social relationships, friends, best friends, enemies, every sphere of his life, and come up with a one-sentence mission statement. Sounds pretty easy, huh? One mission statement for every sphere. One mission statement that would encompass everything. Enemies, friends, families, lovers, everything. And I thought that was the most intriguing thing, because what we tend to do is we tend to compartmentalize these fears. We tend to say, well, in this fear, I am very loving and humble and grace-filled. In this fear, I will tear your head right off your neck. Anybody have children? Son, I'm glad you're here. I love you. We tend to compartmentalize these things, just like we've done with service, just like we've done with Jesus' commands, just like we've done with the apostles' commands of going and loving and being. But this idea of every sphere of our life that intersect with each other somehow, coming up with one mission statement for that. I want to read these apostles, what these apostles say. And at the end, I want you to tell me what you think you're hearing from them, okay? This is James speaking. You ready? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of them says to you, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. Faith not accompanied by action is dead. Okay? That's James. Here's what Luke has to say in Acts. And this is beautiful. This is right after this teaching happens and the Spirit of God moves huge and all of a sudden 3,000 people know Jesus. All of a sudden, 3,000 people come to Jesus. As a pastor, that sounds like a logistical nightmare. That would scare the living crap out of me. Okay? Luke says this, with many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He's talking about this sinfulness. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. We were just doing that. We were breaking bread. We were doing communion together. We eat with one another. We have fun with one another. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Sounds like inaction, doesn't it? Everybody knows the Apostle Paul? Probably not, but I'll just say that anyway. The Apostle Paul has this to say in several of his letters, in Ephesians and Galatians. He says this in Ephesians 4:11. He said, so Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Excuse me. He goes on to say this, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul writes a letter to the church in Galatia. He says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to say, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Did you catch inaction in what these writers were speaking about? Did you catch, now that I have Jesus, I'm okay and I can sit back and coast? Every aspect, every portion of what James, Luke, Paul, pretty much everybody that's recounted anything Jesus has said, talks about this action with what we do and our response to Jesus and our response to Christ and our response to this new spirit that lives inside of us for those that believe. And so I think of this action and I think of every sphere of my world. And I think of one sentence that would speak to every sphere. I was at my uncle's funeral in Las Vegas last week. Thank you guys for letting me go. You didn't really have a choice, but thank you anyway. I was in Vegas, and it's the only time in Vegas that I've never hit the Strip. Not strip clubs, but the Strip. Okay? I didn't hit those either, okay? Just to be clear. I was picked up from the airport that's very, very close to the Strip, and my family, I have a large family that lives in Las Vegas. I didn't think people lived in Las Vegas. I just thought people gambled in Las Vegas and lived somewhere else. So they take me from the airport, they take me to their home, and I never got to gamble, not even in the airport. I didn't win big, I didn't get new shoes. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Didn't get anything. But what I did pick up was at my uncle's funeral. This funeral was 700 people at the church we were at. There were 700 people at my uncle's funeral. And he's a pastor, been a pastor all his life. He's been committed to bringing the kingdom all his life in every sphere of influence that he's ever had. He pastored in Corona, California for many years. He pastored in Arizona for many years, and then he was pastoring in Las Vegas. He had beaten cancer, and cancer came back, and cancer killed him. But this funeral was 700 people in attendance, just in our auditorium. And then they were televising this funeral to the other churches. They were webcasting this funeral to these other churches that he had pastored at. And all of the pastors at those churches came to speak at his funeral. And all of their stories lined up and were the same thing. They had this to say about my uncle. They have this picture of him with his arms stretched out wide. My uncle's a big, tall dude like myself, and he would just hug you no matter who you were, no matter where you were, and love you. And Tim, they just said, if you ever got into Tim's way, you were going to be loved. That was like one of the very brief opening statements that probably wasn't meant to be this big impactful thing, but I took this home with me. I didn't take home thousands of dollars from the slot machine, but I took home this phrase. If you're in front of me, you are going to be loved. And as I have this conversation with this pastor who's talking about melding all these spheres and trying to come up with this one phrase that's going to impact all of them, it hit me. I said, that is my phrase. I'm going to steal it from my uncle. He's dead. It's okay. You can steal things from dead people, right? Grave robbing, I guess. I don't know. You'll bring the show. All right. That's very morbid. He was cremated. All right. Sorry for the morbid humor. It's okay. It's okay. But this one phrase, if you are in front of me, you are going to be loved. Well, what does that mean? It's easy to say that. It's easy to give a nice, kind glance or a smile without saying a word. And maybe for some of you, that's not easy. It's easy to shake somebody's hand and say, "How are you doing?" It's easy to give someone a tract. We don't have those here, by the way. It's easy to invite someone to church, maybe not for some of you. But in terms of the service, if you're going to be in front of me, if you're in front of me, you are going to be loved. What does that look like in your world? What does that look like in my world? What does that look like in all of our spheres of influence? Well, here at Whitewater, we were making a list at staff meeting last week, and we were trying to figure out how many people actually serve. And I think we got up to over 40 people or something on this list. And I think on a strong day, Whitewater is about 122 people on average. 40 of you, and there may be more that we've missed, I don't know, but 40 of you are serving. 40 of you are serving here in these walls on what happens on a Sunday. 40 of you are serving in your own homes as you have Bible studies and groups that meet with you there. 40 of you are helping with children's. 40 of you are helping with nursery. 40 of you are helping with set up and tear down. 40 of you are helping with setting up signs, making coffee, bringing treats. Am I missing anything? And that's one aspect of the service. That's one sphere of your influence. That's one sphere of you being in community here. I would say those same 40 are out in the world doing it as well, out in their workplaces, out in their community. Now, this is just 40 people that I know of right off the bat. I'm not saying that the rest of you are not doing that. But I'm saying in one sphere of influence, that's here. These are things that are available to you. These are places and ways that you can serve. And why? Why would we do this? Why would we make coffee? Why would we have children's church? Why would we have a nursery? Why would we have a band? Why would we do anything like this? Because if you're going to get in front of us, we will love you. That's it. People that serve here, if you are tired of serving, hear this. If people will be in front of you, love them. Love anybody who gets in front of you here. Let that renew you. Let that refresh you. Let that sink in. Let that help you understand why you do what you do every Sunday or every other Sunday or every Wednesday or every Tuesday or every what day of the week it is. Let that sink in. There are those of us that live outside of the church, which is all of us. We don't all live here. But there are those of us that have friends and workplaces in different spheres, families in different spheres. And we're called to serve them. Just as we're called to serve one another, we are called to serve them. Jesus had this conversation. You know, look, he gave this parable of the sheep and the goats. And he talked about, you know, look, I was when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you never gave me anything to eat. When I was in jail, you never came to visit me. You never did these things. And I honestly don't know who you are. You're claiming that you're one of my people. You're claiming that you know me and I should know you, but I don't. Because I see no action within your faith. I see no life within your faith. And so we have these spheres outside of Whitewater, outside of these things, that we also need to be loving anyone who gets in front of us. So what do? We hear these words, we hear the apostles' words, we hear these writers of the Old Testament. You hear this This life phrase of, if you are standing in front of me, you are going to be loved. And that works well unless you're a hermit and you live by yourself. But what do we do with this? What's the call to action? Action. The call to action is action. The call is, if you... We don't have church membership here at Whitewater. We believe if you belong to Jesus, that's your membership card, and that you've already learned the secret handshake. Okay? You believe in Jesus? That's good enough for us. So if you're waiting for church membership, if you're waiting for a membership class, if you're waiting for a piece of paper that says you belong to us, that you're good luck. You won't get that. Here's how you belong. Here's how you become Whitewater. We have a mission statement. Whitewater exists to persistently move the world two steps closer to Jesus. That's persistently moving the world. We don't just get you two steps and drop you, okay? We live life with you for the rest of your life, as God allows. Through the thick and thin, through the beautiful and the grotesque. You can join in that. You can be that. You can help us in that. That's what membership looks like here. That's what service looks like here, is moving the world two steps closer, persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. There's places here you can serve. I can tell you, children's needs help. And this isn't a begging thing. This isn't a we're in trouble thing. This is just a legitimate, do you want to serve? Do you love kids? You have to be able to pass a background check. If you can do that, you can work with children, okay? To move them two steps closer to Jesus. To love them two steps closer to Jesus. Children's needs help. Coffee bar needs help. Katie's in the back shaking her head. Oh, yeah. Coffee bar needs help. On a Sunday morning, would you be able to come and make coffee? Would you give up a little bit of your time? What time do you have to be here to make coffee, Katie? 9. Can you get up by 8 o'clock in the morning? College people are like, I can barely get here by 11. Children's. Man, we are growing this youth group. And Whitewater has always had this very young vibe to it, so we don't have a whole bunch of children. We don't have a very big youth group. But this winter whitewash thing that's coming up, we're taking 7 kids. We've never had that. We've never really, I mean, we've had it in the past in ebbs and flows, but we're now getting this group of junior high kids. That's beautiful. That's awesome. That's also another place where you can serve. That's also another place where you can love people from Denver, from eastern Nebraska, western Nebraska, from Rapid City, South Dakota, Greeley, Colorado. Some of you are saying 350 children sound like a nightmare. But it's not. We need help with food, with meals. I've done it several years, and I've actually played in the bands and served people, serving kids nachos. You've never seen such smiles on kids' faces on nacho night. Because nachos are awesome. But it gives you a chance to look at someone and just smile and serve and fill a need. We need help with that. I think we need like 3 more people per meal. Would you be involved in that? Would you be interested in that? Go to our website and sign up. That's a way you can serve. Go email Tanya at info@whitewaterchristian.com and say, I want to help with that. If you want a real light commitment, that Thursday before, so it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday event, Thursday before, we need to load in food for 350 kids. You know how many bottles of Coke and water that is? It's a lot. But we could use a group of 20 people to come and grab and just haul it up the stairs in the gym here. And then you can go home feeling good about yourself that you served. That's a way to serve. A lot of these are just entry-level points, but a lot of these things love people. Everything that we do loves people. So we do it here. We do it in case the general population of Laramie would just come in interested and say, who is this Jesus that you speak of? That's why we do what we do here. The band, we need more musicians. We need more guitarists, bass players, keyboard players. Please put us out of work, please. Singers. Setup crew. Same thing. Show up at 9. Show up at 9:30. Show up at 10. I bet you could get things set up in 15 minutes or so. These are all very, I don't want to call them low entry points. These are all very applicable ways of loving people. And that's just here, okay? Let me expand this. When you go to your work, who needs the most love in your job right now? How about who is the hardest person to love in your job right now? Ooh. Now everybody's like, oh, crap! Who's the hardest person to love at your job right now? If they get in your way, love them. Love them. Find out what's going on in their world. Don't just let it be a work thing. Try to get invested into their life. I'm saying this because it's easy, because I only work with two people. Try to get invested into their life. Try to find out what makes them tick. Try to find out how you can love them better. Or, for some of you that groaned, oh, not that person, find out how you can start loving them tomorrow. Invite them over for a meal to your home. Cook them your best meatloaf and liverwurst. Oh, that's not a meal you would cook for your new guests? Find out if they are financially strapped and if you have the finances to help them do so. Getting personal now. Find out about their life and pray for them secretly. Suckers won't know what hit them. Invest in them. How about family members that are hard to love? How about family members you haven't spoken to in years? How about family members you refuse to pick up the phone to and call and speak? How about family members that every time they call you, it goes to voicemail? Or you don't answer their texts? If they get in front of you, if they are in front of you, love them. That's what Jesus asks of you. That's what he taught his disciples. That's what his disciples have taught us through the word. Love them. Serve them. Serve one another. Are you hearing it? Then let's do it together. Deal? God, we love you. We thank you for God, we thank you for the ability that you give us to love others. Every one of us that carries around your spirit, every one of us that hears your voice and has said yes to you, has the same God-given ability to love everybody they come in contact with. You've given us that. You've also created unique spirits within us, unique personalities within us. So God, I pray that these fears that kind of well up depending on the personality, I don't know how I can do this. God, show us that. Show us the way in which our personality can love. God, show us the gifts that you've given us. Show us how to love out of the gifts that you've given us. Show us how to serve out of the gifts that you've given us. God, for those of us that have been inactive since hearing your call, or maybe we heard your call and we were active for a time and it just started falling off, slowly but surely, God, revive that within us. Jumpstart our hearts, jumpstart our spirits, jumpstart our desire to love everybody within our sphere of influence, within our spheres of different portions of our lives. God, renew that within us. God, give us a passion for this community here in these walls, on these Sundays, on these Monday through Sundays. God, give us passion to be of service here. God, give us passion to be in community here with one another, that we can build one another up. God, that together we love this community. We serve this community. God, give us passion for outside these walls. Give us passion for the McDonald's clerk that screws up our order. God, give us passion for the people of Walmart as we shop. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God, give us passion for those people. God, give us compassion for these people. That as they stand in front of us, that they will be loved no matter what. And God, most of all, forgive us for the years of inaction. Forgive us for the times of inaction. Forgive us for the times when we hear your voice speaking directly to our situation about those around us and how we love them, and we ignore it and turn the other way. God, forgive us for that. Give us grace for those times. God, may we all, this morning, right here, today, commit to be in your service. That together we'd persistently move the world two steps closer to Jesus. In your precious name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.